Welcome to Thoughts Off the Stem. I'm Justin Baroni, and today we're smoking mystery weed. Oh, that tasted like, okay. Let me think here. So I found a bunch of stuff in my stash jar. Like I said, the last sesh, or one of the most recent seshes, was that I've been working through my stash jar because I found a bunch of little things left over in it. So I figured it's time to empty it out, make room for some more stuff, some new stuff. So I'm going through the different nugs that are left in there. Like I said, Indica Pheno number 23 from Nugs. The smalls was what I was smoking a couple episodes ago, or an episode ago. And this one is just, I took three nugs out of the jar, and I just busted them up and put them together for our pre-rolls today. So it's mystery pre-rolls. Yay! I could tell you that there'll be no less than 24% THC, most likely a hybrid or indica leaning hybrid. So that's what we're smoking in the bong. That's what we're smoking in the pre-rolls. It tasted like shit. There was a new something that came out at one point a few months ago that I wanted to try, because it smelled like, when you open the bag, it smelled like a greenhouse. Like, you know, when Canadian Tire opens, or like Home Depot opens for the spring, and like the greenhouse smell that comes out of their plant department, dude, that's what this stuff smelled like. So I thought, man, it smells pretty organic, pretty earthy. I'm going to give it a shot. Well, I'll tell you, it smokes and tastes just like it smells. So it's not the best flavor. It's like you're smoking a very earthy weed. So if you like organic earthy weed, I would say this, but I don't even know what it is to tell you. I was going to say glue orangutan, but it's not that. It's something else. I want to say like, it started with a V. Vector, Vendetta, I don't know. I'll think about it, see if I could come up with it in this session. But I also thought it would be a good thing to smoke some mystery weed, because it's the unknown, and you never know what's going to happen with the unknown. Doo-loo-loo, 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 right? I thought what we would do today is, because I can remember the first time I was going to try weed, I just got a little bit worried, you know, at one point. A little anxiety kicked in, because you don't know what's going on. It's like I said, the fear of the unknown. And then I did it and I loved it and it was okay. You know, one point I remember when I first smoked, in my, I looked down at my shirt and it was like, I could see my heartbeat in it, you know? And, I looked at him like, oh fuck, I could see my heartbeat. And I look over at my buddy, I'm like, hey man, I could see my heart beating in my shirt. Like, is that supposed to happen? And then he looks at me, he goes, it's not. Dude, nothing's going on. You're fine. I'm like, oh. So, like, that's when I realized that you could feel everything. Like, when you smoke weed, your senses, not all of them, but some of them are heightened. For me, the sense that's heightened is me knowing or feeling things in my body more than I normally would if I wasn't, right? And I can remember greening out one time, and when I was greening out, I could hear everything that was going on. So, I was awake. I was in university, and I could hear everything around me, but I was like, my eyes were closed. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't talk. I was just laying on the bed, and there was a bunch of people in the room. And I remember the vision in my head was just all of my blood. Like, you could see, how would he explain it? It was like a top-down view, cartoon top-down view, where it was me lying in a bed and just like an outline. You know when they show you like cartoons and the guy's in like boxers with hearts on it, and he's just like a lump of skin and like the shape of a human on the bed, that, you know, in a cartoon in one of those after school videos or whatever. So it was like that, but instead of me being like human, it was a black form, and you could see the veins running through me, all the veins, and they were all green. And I was like, dude, the weed is really in me. And that was my first experience with a green out, and that freaked me out too, so I never wanted to have that again. But I also like to let more loose than I do now. Anyway, my point is that, because of these fears and things, and my daughter has one, which I'm saving till the end. My daughter has probably the weirdest fear that like, I can believe I've ever seen, I've ever come into. I know, and I don't know if it's a real fear, but she definitely gets like icked out about it, right? So I thought we'd talk about phobias, because I can remember my first two phobias. One was spiders. I'm terrified. Well, now I can handle it, but when I was younger, I was terrified of spiders. So, Arachnophobia was a tough movie to watch. So I can remember that being my first one. My second one, I thank Indiana Jones for. Thank you, Harrison Ford, for the fear of snakes. Terrified of snakes, man. Terrified of snakes. Even now, I will try and help somebody. I remember a time when my mom called me. I was at my dad's office. We were working, and she gets through to me because he was on the phone, and she's screaming in the phone as if somebody was like murdering her, that there was a snake in the kitchen. Dude, I'll never forget that day. I drove so fast home. We didn't live far from work, so I made it home pretty quick. And then getting to the kitchen, be like, what the fuck am I gonna do about this? I'm terrified of snakes too. I couldn't go any closer to it. I didn't know where to find it. No way, no way, sir. So, just behind me, my dad shows up. He ends up getting the snake and slaughtering it with a broom. It was pretty funny, and like a lot of blood. And then, oh, I remember being even younger than that one time where I was at, like, I don't know if you remember cubs or beavers. So we had this thing where they had like reptile night, right? And they brought like an alligator, they brought snakes, they brought all these different reptiles. And they had them up on a stage, and I can remember sitting at like a picnic table in this like lunchroom and looking up at the stage and them showing us, and they walked the alligator around. I hid under the table, dude. I was like, no fucking way. They put it on the table above me. I was terrified. I was scared shitless. And then what at the end, we're talking, my mom's talking to the guy that's doing it, and I'm standing there, and he just tosses me a snake. Like, what? I remember catching it and like freaking out. Oh yeah. So that didn't help. So I still have a healthy fear of snakes. But I thought, what are some of the weirder fears, the dumber things that people get scared of? And maybe you have one of these phobias and you don't even realize that you have it. Okay. So I picked out, how many was it? Well, I have, like I said, one honorable mention, which is my daughter's phobia, which I think is probably one of the funnier phobias I've ever heard of. There's also a story to go along with that, which I think you'll enjoy. So let's get into this. This is from boardpanda.com. These are 17 of, I don't know, what I consider to be some of the weirdest phobias on the planet. People suffer from this stuff. And if I don't pronounce it right, I apologize. I'm gonna try to do my best, okay? I think it's jellyophobia. You think that'd be a fear of like gelatin, right? No. It's a fear of laughter. Could you imagine? Like, does that mean that you're afraid of laughing? You can never see comedy. Do you have a heart attack? Could you have a heart attack while laughing because you're so afraid of the laugh that you're, you know, letting out? That just, good luck. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would suck. I would hate to be afraid of laughing or laughter. Somebody laughs beside you, shit yourself. No. Dude, that'd be so funny. Oh, right on. Oh man, why'd you do that? You know I don't like it when you laugh. Metrophobia, fear of poetry. Are you afraid of poetry? Dude, you could never listen to, like, could you listen to music? Is it specifically written poetry? Like, you can't go to poetry slam nights and stuff like that. How would you do an English class? You had a fear of poetry? You have to read poetry like all the fucking time. Are you kidding me? I don't know, man. That seems like a pretty shitty thing to be afraid of. Also, what kind of fear does that like instill in you? What happens in that situation of poetry that scares the crap out of you? Is it the rhyming? You're like, that is not right. Rhyming is not the thing to do. It doesn't make sense to me. I know it's devil's work. Like, could that be it? I don't know. It would really suck to be afraid of poetry, though. You know what else would suck? This one I can kind of understand a little bit because, like, there is a level of danger that comes with it. Is, okay, again, I don't know if I'm going to say this right. Okay. Erichibuterophobia. Erichibuterophobia. What? Arachibuterophobia. So, arachibuterophobia. Arachibuterophobia. Something like that. I don't know. That's saying it a lot. But yeah, it's a hard one to say. This one, the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Now, as I get older, I have a fear of like choking or not being able to breathe. So, I can understand this fear. Because if you get enough peanut butter stuck up there, what do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The peanut butter is going to potentially block your esophagus and cut it all off. 1 second, the cat is making a noise. I have to pause this. I'll be right back. What is this cat doing? Dude, that was fucked up. Sorry. I had to pause for a second because the cat was, I don't know, doing something in the back. I didn't know if you could hear it, but it was sidetracking me. So anyway, I had to get her to stop and be quiet. So my apologies for the weird break. She was like, tap, tap, tap. That's my phobia. Her little tappy scratch, whatever the fuck she was doing there. I did not like that. That drove me nuts. That was like nails on chalkboard. Anyway, so yeah. I'll try one more time. No, I'm not even going to try. But the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. I can understand that because like if you get too much, you could choke. Peanut butter, what do you do? I don't know. It's not like an ice cube. You ever choked on an ice cube and you're like, oh my God, I'm dying. Then you think, wait, it'll melt. I'll be fine. And then it does, and you're like, oh yeah, panic for nothing. All right, number 4, pantherophobia, fear of your mother-in-law. I just thought it was funny. There's also a fear of, like, just your relatives in general. So anybody comes over. Could you imagine being afraid of your relatives or even your mom, like your mother-in-law, anybody like that? I mean, I kind of understand your mother-in-law. Which is probably why I'm single right now. At least a part of the reason. Because, yeah, you know? But could you imagine being, like, afraid of people and just, like, you can't go anywhere or do anything? Dude, that would really suck. At the same time, hopefully you would be creative, right? I would think that would be a good idea. Oh, damn. I showed the dirty side of the mug to the camera. Oh, yuck. Yoink. You probably can't even tell. Dude, I'm high. I hope you're enjoying the sesh. I hope you're high. I hope you're having a good time. Yeah. So another fear, besides your mother-in-law. Oh, how about this one? Geniophobia. You think that's the fear of a genie in a bottle? No. That's the fear of a chin. This thing at the bottom of your face. But what, like, an inch from your lips, or half inch, whatever, however far your chin is from your lips, that's where it is. Do you imagine being afraid of chins? Like, that's the thing, okay, so that's what amazes me, is people can be afraid of, like, the simplest thing, being afraid of chins. Like, how does that survive? Like, how does that, is it genetic? Are you predisposed? Like, if your parents have this disorder where you're afraid of chins, right? And does it pass down to you? If that were the case, like, people being afraid of chins, you know what I do understand? Like, okay, they wouldn't last in history, would they? Like, same thing as fear of laughter. Like, I feel like that lineage would die out very fast. You know, because you can't be around people. You get into the wrong fight because depending on how you react to a chin, like maybe you're okay with the chin, maybe you're not okay with the chin, but maybe you run away from the chin, maybe you smack the chin, like because that's your, you know, fight or flight. You can see somebody punching the wrong person in the chin, you know what I'm saying? Oh, here's a good one. I think it's puppophobia. Now, you would think maybe dogs, right? Like puppies. You're afraid of the puppies. Oh, a fear of puppets. Now, this one I get. I have a slight puppophobia, if that's what it's called. Okay? Because have you ever seen The Dark Crystal? Dude, the puppets in that show weird me out. There's something about their image, the look, how they talk, with their movements, that just sends shivers down my spine. I can't, anytime I see it in a picture, I shiver. I see it in a movie, I watch the movie, I shiver. I can't watch it with my kids because the whole time I'm just shaking. So I kind of understand puppophobia. Not all puppets, but definitely those ones. Dark Crystal puppets are scary motherfuckers, is what I'm saying. So I could kind of understand that, but it would also suck. Like, I know, I don't, how often are you around puppets, right? I don't know, me neither. But I'm not around puppets often either. But it would really suck to be afraid of puppets, because sometimes puppet shows are fun, man. Especially when you're stoned. Puppets are dancing? Yeah. Oh, how about pan phobia? Afraid of a frying pan? Nuh-uh. Pan phobia, for number seven here, is the fear of everything. Okay. Can you imagine being afraid of everything? Like, literally everything. The floor you stand on, the bed you sleep on, the pillow, like your entire day. How, that's what I'm saying. How does the lineage live on? Can you develop this? Does it get developed over time where you're like, oh, I don't like stuff all of a sudden? Like, what happens? Is it due to traumatic brain injuries? Like, I really want to know, because how are you afraid of everything? Everything, dude. That means you're sleeping. You wake up. Ah! Okay. You roll over. Ah! You get out of bed. Oh, I don't like it. Okay. You would be, have you ever seen dog videos with the dogs where they've got boots on their feet and they're doing like the little dance because they can't stand still and like they don't like how it feels and they can't run and they're like, Have you ever seen that? If you haven't, check it out. Dogs in boots. It's fucking funny. Or dogs in shoes, whatever. Socks, whatever. Foot coverings. Okay. That's like one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And that's what I imagine it would be like being afraid of everything. Like you could con like how do you have a drink? How do you eat food? How do you like you just oh, dude, you'd have a tough life. What do you think the life expectancy of somebody that's afeared of everything? Like 10 days? All right, that was number seven. Number eight, again, let's make sure, like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, so you can check them out on the article. I'll put the link up on tots420.com in the Dude for Real Facts or set section page. Dude for Real page, facts page. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's from boardpanda.com, weird phobias. Yeah. So, number eight, dextrophobia. The fear of having objects to your right. Okay. Let's say you had like a compound of these fears. Like there was like you had more than one, right? You're not just dextrophobia where you're afeared of having objects to your right. But you're also afeared of, let's say, chins. Chins. Sorry. I just had a picture. I'll tell you the story. Okay, this is what happened in my head right there. Okay, so you have a dextrophobia, you have a fear of having objects to your right, and then you have geniophobia, which is fear of chins. Okay, so you've got your fucking, you've got your, I don't know, somebody sitting to your, no, you're sitting on a couch, and there's a table to your right. You have to sit on that couch in that spot. You have no other choice, okay? You don't realize that there's a table there. You go, you put your arm up on the thing, there's a table. Ah! Table, right? You turn, and somebody's like, what? And boom, chin. Chin in the eye. Face on the couch. Now you're touching the table to your right. What do? Pee yourself? I don't know. But that's the picture that ran through my head. Was a guy sitting down, looks at the table, freaks out, screams, turns to get away, right into Chinny McPhee over here. Catches it in the eye, down for the count. Oh my goodness. That's how I visualize that. And then he peed himself, because why wouldn't you pee yourself if you get hit in the eye with a chin? okay, number 9. I don't want to know. I don't even know how to say this. Okay. This one also doesn't, like, bode well for me at all in any way. But here we go. Number 9. Pelidophobia. P-E-L-A-D-P-H-O-B-I-A. Pelidophobia or pelid? Pelid? I don't know. Pelidophobia. Fear of bald people. Maybe that's why I can't get a date. There's like a... My baldness is throwing people off. I wear my hat most of the time. I do like my bald head, though. It's easier to manage. It's not bald either. I have a little bit of hair. Like a tiny bit. But could you imagine... I can kind of see being afraid of bald people, but are you afraid of bald people because, like, the texture of their naked head, the idea of that feels weird to you? That's what I want to know, because I'll tell you this. Have you ever sat in a back, you know, you're sitting in a back seat of, like, a Mazda, let's say, right? Like a four-door, whatever, four-door Mazda car, okay? And the seats are fabric, right? You know how... You have that, like, kind of cloth back to a seat. If I touch that with my hands, like right now, I'm feeling it and it makes me shiver. Like that, I don't know if that's a phobia, but dude, I do not like to feel it. Like, I can feel it in my hand right now, okay? I can feel it all the way up my arm. I don't like that feeling. Just like people and, you know, nails on a chalkboard. I want to know if that's the kind of, like, afraid you get. Or is it like, I'm terrified, a snake's afraid, where if somebody throws a snake at me, I freeze. Boop, 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 I'm frozen. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, okay, now what? There's a snake. And then I don't know what, like, I'm stuck, you know? So if I had to war where there were snakes, I wouldn't last long. Like, maybe I'd get 7 or 8 steps towards where I have to go and then dead from snake, you know? Or at least... Frozen by snake, like that's what the enemy could use against me. They wouldn't have to throw bombs and shit. They just chuck a snake at me and I'd freeze. And then they could just pick me off, you know, right in the fucking forehead. That's the kind of fear I have with a snake. Is that the same as the bald people thing? Like you see a bald person, you're just like, and you're like stuck. You can't, go by me. Don't stop, don't stay here, don't talk to me. Keep going, go. Oh my God, thank God. Like, is that the thing that happens? Or are you just like, ew, I don't like bald, you know, and you move on? That's all I'm saying. So since we're talking about phobias, I figured that this week we would talk about whether or not there has been a rise in, what would you call it, like, drivers being caught under the influence of cannabis. It's time for some weed facts, bro. That's right, some weed and some facts. Right on. Because friends of mine and I have always had this theory that, and I mean, like, other people have a theory too, but we've always had this theory that weed will actually, like, slow you down. Like, you don't know, you're not going to go fast. Because, like, sometimes things feel like they're going too fast already when you're slow. Plus, you shouldn't be driving. I'm not saying you should smoke weed and drive. We were always curious to see if it would go up. Like, is it the same as booze? And so I found this article from hightimes.com called Weed Legalization in Canada, Not Linked to an Increase in Car Crashes. So that also goes for some DUIs that I've read. Now, I haven't, don't like, I'm not claiming this for a fact or anything, but I remember a year ago or two, they were looking into drivers caught in the area, whether they were under the influence of weed. And more often than not, if they were under the influence of weed, they were also under the influence of alcohol. Whereas there were very few people caught with like just having smoked weed. The comparison was totally different. So like if you had 10 people that were driving, then what was it? Like, let's say, you know, seven of those 10 people got caught. That got caught. Wait a minute. What am I trying to say? Yeah. You have 10 people that get caught under the influence. Seven of those 10 might have weed and booze in their system. Three out of that 10 will just have like booze basically. Three of them will have like weed or booze, however it splits. So that was sort of like our theory. And then they did an article, not like I said, a couple years ago, that sort of confirmed that, yes, that was the case. There's a lot, the comparable is that more people are drinking and driving still. Like, not more people, but people are still drinking and driving. Jesus, Justin, focus, buddy. People are drinking and driving, not so much just smoking weed and then going for a joyride. That's the minority, right? Now, having said that, I have also noticed that there are people out there who are smoking weed and driving, because you know how you could tell? Slow. If it's the exact speed limit. If the person, I know it's not like for everyone, but you could tell because there's stupid shit that they do. Like they'll hit the brakes for no reason because they like, oh, did I make the spot? Like they're looking around, you know, I don't think that like, I think you're way more cautious under the influence of weed because you're already paranoid and it like, or you will be paranoid when you get in the car. Or I don't see too many reckless people driving while they're high, you know, because like when you're high, the weed's like, dude, I don't even want to do that right now. You know, you'd have to, I don't know. I don't know what my point is. My point is simply this, that they started to look into this in Canada. And Canadian scientists looked at the number of traffic accidents in Toronto, both in the years prior to and directly after the city legalized adult use cannabis. The 2021 study in the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence found no evidence that the implementation of the Cannabis Act, which legalized adult use in Canada, was associated with significant changes in post-legalization. Post-legalization patterns of all drivers, traffic injury, emergency room visits, or specifically youth driver traffic injury, emergency room presentations. So basically, they didn't find a rise in any of that due to weed. Now, obviously, they're saying the legislation, but the legislation didn't impact it, but it doesn't have, they don't see any more, they don't see a change. Seems to be about the same. In fact, maybe a little less. Normal points out another study published earlier this year similarly concluded, overall, there is no clear evidence that recreational cannabis laws had any effect on rates of emergency room visits and hospitalizations for either motor vehicle or pedestrian cyclist injury across Canada. Because it makes you slow down, man. It makes you like, dude, I'm not advocating drive high. I'm just saying, it just makes you go like, right on, brother. I'm just cruising. Like, if you've never seen anything, check out Cheech and Chong. Because, like, that's more it. They're going way too slow or parked on a median. That's all I'm saying. So right now they're trying to find ways to measure the level of impairment when you're under the influence of marijuana, like breathalyzers or other technology that they're trying to develop to get it to the point where you can actually use it in the court of law, I guess. So, you know, but again, there's no rise. So I don't know what everybody's all pissed about, you know. So those are the weed facts for this week. And I have to go get the cat to stop doing whatever she's doing again. I'll be right back.
That's right. Some weed and some facts. Right on.
Silly cat. Doesn't want to just relax for a little bit. But she doesn't want to be outside either. She wants to stay down here with me. Because, I don't know. She's, I guess, I guess it's that time of year where she's all like, pay some attention, you know? So yeah, so I guess, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but she's being a butthead. So yeah, they're trying to figure out ways to do this. There are some ways that have come out. I don't know how accurate they are, though. Yeah. I guess right now it's just like sobriety tests and discretion, more so than technology. But if you're too high to drive, you shouldn't drive when you're high, is my point. But it's also kind of fun to note that, it hasn't really changed. And I think that in part is because, everybody on weed is like, yay, let's just fucking watch a movie and have popcorn, man. So, yeah. So, those are the weed facts for this week. Let's get back to scary phobia shit. And then light this joint as well, because I know you want to know the end one, because the one with my daughter at the end is a great story as well. It's not just a good phobia and funny, it's a good story. All right, so we're on number 10. We're at the halfway point, I guess. So again, cheers. I don't know what this is that I'm smoking, but I hope you're enjoying the sesh. I hope you've got ears rolled, you're ready to smoke. I hope you're getting high, man. I hope you're enjoying life, having a good time. You know what I'm saying? Oh, good. I thought this roll was too tight. It is not. It is nice. Nice! Okay. So, phobia number 10. Oh, it's the same thing. What the hell is it called? Sorry. The flavor is so unique. I'm telling you. You know that smell when you walk into a fucking greenhouse at the first part of the year? That's what this fucking smells like, dude. It smells so good. And, it smells, I mean, it tastes earthy. I could see how not a lot of people would like it. It is a little bit tough to get through sometimes. Like in the bong, it tastes the same. That's a tougher one to take when you take a bong hit of it. But smoking a joint, if you put it in a blunt, it would be delicious. This is blunt weed. What the fuck was it called? I still don't remember. It had like a funky name. Like I said, like Vector or. It could be gorilla berries, but I don't think it. No, not gorilla berry. I mean, glurangutan. But I don't remember. I remember that tasting more peppery. This one's got like a real, just pulled it out of the soil flavor. Imagine being afraid of weed? Dude, that would suck. Well, I mean, it wouldn't. It would suck if you knew if you liked weed before and then all of a sudden you just got developed a phobia for weed. That would suck. If you didn't know anything about weed and never had, what, it doesn't make any difference, right? All right, so number 10, Francophobia, the fear of French people and their culture. That's fucked up. That'd be horrible. You actually have a phobia of it? Maybe that's what a big part of racism is. It's just a phobia of these people that are so into, maybe the people that are actually in the KKK or all about white power are just super afraid. They have racophobia or something like that, and they have no other way to express their shit. I don't know. I'm just saying. Is it possible that that's the case? Again, I'm sure that a lot of people just are the way they are, but maybe there's one guy in there that actually has he's like, look, I just can't do it, dude. I don't know, man. But could you imagine being afraid of French people? Like, a bonjour. No! I'm the fuck out! That would suck. Maybe that's all of the US. I heard that, they don't particularly like the French. Maybe that's where that came from. Just the US is all anti-francophone. I don't know. Number 11. Okay, this one. This one got me thinking. Because in the last few episodes, I've been talking about how I think what is going, we're all just going crazy, right? And we're finding the wrong avenues to discuss society. And we're falling in on ourselves, you know? We're collapsing a little bit. I think after finding this list, I think number 11 here might be the reason. And again, this is why I wonder if it's genetic. Ideophobia. the fear of reason or ideas. So all this push with, like, you know, equality and all that stuff, and like all this like crazy outlandish idea of who is what and what is who, right? And the pushback and the back and forth, that's starting to settle a bit, but maybe that's what it is. It's just an overabundance of people in the population, young people in the population, who now have idea phobia. And they haven't gotten the right treatment for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's identified that that's the phobia that this group of, like, I don't know, however many people out there are trying to run the woke movement. Maybe that's their problem. They have idea phobia and they don't even realize it. Nobody's been diagnosed yet. Why diagnose them idea phobic? They have the fear of reason or ideas. That's what's happened to our society. Everybody's afraid of thinking it through. And then having a new idea influence the original idea. That's what's happening. Yeah. Number 11, idea phobia. That is our pandemic right now, is idea phobia. Thank you, COVID. All right, here's number 12, autophobia. Do you think that is for like a car? No, it is not. It's the fear of opening your eyes. As soon as I read this one, all I could think to myself, much like the fear of everything, one, okay, you're lying in bed. You're waking up and your eyes open, and then you freak the fuck out for like a good 2 minutes. Just losing your shit that your eyes are open. What would that be like? Would you over time? Because like, I know in the morning when I wake up, right? I'm out of it. Like, not out of it, but just like groggy and not really thinking straight, you know? So I don't necessarily control my initial first thought. And if I did, I feel like I'd be on edge all night and wouldn't get a really restful sleep, right? So my question for this is, optophobia. Jesus, not autophobia. Halfway through that explanation, I realized I said the wrong fucking thing. It's optophobia, which makes sense that it's eyes, because optics. Jesus, Justin. Anyway, my point is that I don't think I can't control my first thought a lot of times. It's just, it is whatever it is that pops in there. And if I did, I feel like I'd lose sleep, right? So the question I have is, would you be able to recognize that when you wake up, like, it's okay? You have to tell yourself every time you're lying there, eyes closed. And then your eyes start to open slowly. And you're like, it's okay, body. Everything's fine. You don't like this, but it's good. You know? Can you do that? Or do you open your eyes and just fucking, oh, God. Jesus, I'm fine. You know, like, what happens? I want to see that, kind of. In my head, I want to see it, but in reality, you know, like a lot of things, maybe it's not the best thing to see, because it would probably be terrifying to watch somebody go through that. Oh my God, I'm awake! Oh, okay, whew. Jesus, thank God I'm awake. You know, that kind of shit. That's all I don't mean to laugh at phobias. I'm just curious. I mean, it is kind of funny. I'm just curious to know how people handle it. Because I'm curious to know how people handle everything. Okay, and now we have, again, don't know if I'm saying this right, allodoxophobia, the fear of opinions. See, that and idea phobia, okay? Allodoxophobia and idea phobia go together. That's what's happening to, like, younger generations. The fear of the fear of reason and or ideas. Also, allodoxophobia, the fear of opinions. That's it. That's exactly what's happening. If they're just undiagnosed. It's pretty amazing to me that those two phobias could just basically explain our plot in life right now. You know, I know it's coming to an end. It's sort of winding down and the tides are shifting. But like those two things, I think, are the thing, you know. All right. Number 14. I don't know how to say this. I'm going to spell it out. C-H-A-E-T-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. Okay. So I'm thinking it's like chaetophobia or catophobia. It's fear of hair. Imagine having the fear of no hair and then the fear of hair, right? Okay. I picture two people, one bald guy, one really hairy lady, like long hair, you know, they're together. And then at some point they develop this chaetophobia or whatever. And all of a sudden now nobody can be around each other because they're afraid of it. But like, again, I wonder how, are you afraid of the hair like touching you? What is it? Is it the texture of hair? Is it all hair? Is it just, because if you're afraid of all hair, like what do? You know how you'd end up. If you've ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you'd end up like Frank, Danny DeVito's character, all oiled up, shaved up on the office room floor, hoping that hair and germs never touch you. What happens to somebody that's got that and is afraid of hair and is like, what happens if, is there like different levels of fear? Like if you get to somebody that has like dreadlocks, do you just lose it because it's also dirty? Like, I guess you'd have to have a fear of dirt and a fear of hair at that point. But like, and I'm not saying that all dreadlocks are. I'm just saying I saw a guy the other day. His was flat matted. Didn't look like it was taken care of very well. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So yeah, are there different levels for this fear, or is it just a pure terrifying, oh my God, hair? And what do? Like, you have to have hair on you. How do you come to grips with that? Yeah, that'd be kind of weird, like being afraid of hair. Now, luckily, I don't have that problem going bald as I am. All right, how about this one? Oh, this one is also similar to, like I said, fear of everything. This reminded me also of those dog videos where they have the booties on and they're like trying to walk, but they're, you know, they can't walk normal, so they're doing like a weird little jig thing. Barophobia, the fear of gravity. Do you imagine being afraid of gravity? It's what keeps you down. It keeps you like safe and stuck to the planet. That's what you need. You have to walk around like high-kneeing it everywhere. You can't stand too long. You just run and tiptoe everywhere you go. I'm afraid to touch the ground because I don't believe in gravity. I'm afraid of gravity. Could you imagine being afraid of gravity? What's falling like? That's got to be the most terrifying thing then, because that's like gravity's got you and you're falling. Falling is pretty scary anyway because no control, right? What am I talking about? I don't know. Phobias, dude. I hope you're enjoying the sesh. I hope you're having a good time. I hope you're smoking a joint. I'm just about done this pre-roll. It still burns nice, which is surprising. Because, again, I've had it for a long time. I don't know what it is, so I'm sorry that I can't tell you. But I can tell you that I'm pretty high. It's like I think it's a hybrid, right down the middle. I'm sure it was said it was an indica, because that's why I would have bought it. But it's giving me hybrid vibes right now. Oh, I needed that water. That coffee was making my mouth all dry. You ever get that when you have coffee after weed and dry mouth galore? Okay. So, barophobia, the fear of gravity. Doing a dance everywhere you go. No! It's like old school, like cowboys shooting at you, but there's nothing coming. It's just gravity. Phonophobia, the fear of sound. Dude. Imagine you had the fear of sound, okay? You have the fear of opening your eyes. You have the fear of hair, because it's more likely you're going to have hair than not, right? And then you have the fear of gravity. How tough would your life be? You'd be... Dude, come on. Do you think it's possible, like, okay, if you believe in a God, right, and God creates man and all this stuff, like, then that would, does that mean that, like, God gave this person that? And you know how you always, could you ever think, like, oh, well, God wouldn't have made me this way if, like, I, you know, if I couldn't handle it, right? Who could handle those? All of those? Being afraid? You'd be terrified everywhere you went. Oh, yeah, and then throw in the chin. Here, I'd be afraid of chins. Like, you have to stare at chins to listen to people, but you can't because you don't like the sound, so you close your ears, but then you have to touch your hair. Close your eyes, but then you have to open them again. Like, dude, you'd be bouncing, like, you'd be off the walls in no fucking time. You know what I'm saying? Could medication cut through that? Does it help you with that phobia? Like, how do you design a pill that helps you with being afraid of opening your eyes? Like, that's insane. Okay, and lastly, but not leastly, because this is one of the best ones I could think of to end this. And my oldest is pretty happy that she's made the podcast as a story. So here you go. You've made it this far. Listen to this. This is a good one. So number 18 and our final one, which is not part of the article that you can find on tots420.com, but is one that I had to find because this is a fear of my daughter's. I think this is how you pronounce it correctly. Pitakionophobia. 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 It's a fear of stickers. She doesn't like them. They come on everything. I have to peel them off for her. That's right. Now, as we learned that she didn't like stickers at a very, very young age, okay? Because she's always been very strong-minded. I've taught her to be like that. She's very definitive about what she likes and what she doesn't like. She's very, don't be in my space. Like, she'll tell you right away if you're making her uncomfortable, that kind of thing. Or she'll leave. She'll do her thing. She's very independent in a lot of ways. And so when she was like 2 or 3 years old, we were walking into Walmart. And at the time, the greeter, before all the gates and stuff, it was just a wide open hallway, the greeter would come up and give out stickers. So the greeter comes up and my daughter, her and I are walking in. She's to my left. She's 2 or 3 years old, probably 3. And the greeter comes up to her and goes, hi. And she goes, hi. And then the greeter goes, do you want a sticker? And my daughter goes, no. And then the lady goes, oh, it's just a sticker. And my daughter looks at me and I'm like, you don't have to have one. She goes, no, thank you. And the greeter was an older lady. So my daughter puts her hands behind her back, and the woman goes to grab her one hand because she's standing with her hands in front of her at the time on the second ask. And she goes, no, thank you. And then the lady reaches out, grabs her hand, and she pulls, and my daughter pulls away and puts her hands behind her back and goes, I said no, thank you. Or she said, no, thank you, right? And then kind of stepped towards me. And the lady went to grab her again. And I'm just kind of watching to be like, okay, let's see what happens here, right? Because I want to see how she reacts to it. She's 3. I want to see what she does. Because she, you could tell it made her uncomfortable, but she was also trying to make her point. So the lady leans in, and she just winds up and whack right across the face. And she goes, I said no. I at first made the face of like, ooh, you know? But then I was like, well, she kind of asked for it. She told her 3 times no, like, and she tried to grab her hand. I see where she, no, I'm okay with this, you know? And then I start laughing. And the lady looks at me and she's like, is this really how you teach your daughter? I said, I didn't teach her to do that. But like, who taught you to keep grabbing a kid when the kid said no 3 times? What do you expect to happen here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't think the kid's going to stand up just because you're an old lady means that like she has to do what you want? No, thank you. She told you no, thank you 3 times, lady. And then she got mad. And so I was like, all right, whatever. And we started to walk. Now, this is right where they have the TV, right? So you're like, you could see yourself on monitor walking in. As we walk under the monitor, I look forward and there's 2 managers coming up. And the one manager looks at me and I just looked at him. I'm like, keep walking, buddy, because we're not having this conversation. And so he kept going. They went, talked to her, I guess, and then came to us and explained that, yeah, she shouldn't have done that. And they apologized. I didn't really care. I thought it was funny. The lady got slapped in the face. She did not like us, man. So that was my daughter's reaction to stickers and finding out that that is actually a phobia. It was kind of funny. And it's pitakyanophobia, the fear of stickers. My daughter did not like these things, dude. Even now, she's 14. She buys books all the time. She reads, like, every day. She reads, like, a book a day, people, okay? She's a dork. She's a self-admitted dork. I love her for it. She's really good with bookie stuff. I'm not so good with bookie stuff, so I'm very proud of her. But I don't know where I was going with that. I guess I just wanted to tell you I was proud of her. Hang on, let me think about it, because I feel like I was going somewhere with it. Can't just, like, teeter off to nothing. Oh, yeah. She buys books all the time, so whenever I take her to Chapters or whatever, they all come with a sticker. Every time we get a book, she puts it on the counter when we get home, and I have to take the sticker off before she'll even touch the thing. It's pretty funny. So then sometimes what I'll do is I'll peel it off, stick it on my finger, and I'll chase her around the house with it, because you deserve it. I have to take off all your stickers. Like, it's fair. It's a fair trade-off, you know? But, yeah. So those are all the phobias that I found were kind of the weirdest things. And if you compound all these different phobias, I don't know how you could last. Like, you know, it's getting crazy. But I also see how if there's a large amount of the population that has these phobias that is not recognized, and we're not talking about it. We're talking about depression, all this other stuff, but we're not talking about phobias. How many people, you know, are afraid of opinions? How many people are afraid of reason or ideas? And they don't even know because they can't reason or idea it out. And you don't want anybody's opinion on it because you're afraid of it. Like, dude, we're stuck in a cycle. I think we'll fix it. I think we'll come out of it. I think things will change. That's always the catalyst for change, is like stupidity, right? It gets too dumb, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, okay. We've had enough, dummy. Let's try and make some things a little better here. I think that's what's happening. So I hope you enjoyed the sesh. Hope you enjoyed the phobias. You could check out the full article of phobias, or the full list of phobias, on tots420.com under the Dude for Real Facts section of the website. For the weed facts, what were the weed facts? The article about the influence, whether there have been more or less instances, research, Jesus, an article on the research that has gone into the, whether or not it has changed in the amount of, intoxicated while under weed instances while driving, or if it hasn't. Whatever this is that I can't remember the name of, it does make you space out, and like, that's what I like about weed. It can like turn off little parts of you while you're doing shit. And that's what's happening right now. So if we ever figure out what this mystery weed is, I'll tell you, or if I ever figure it out, I'll let you know. But yeah, those are my thoughts off the stem for this week. That's all I'm saying. Hope you enjoyed the sesh. Hope you come back next week with me, Justin Baroni, your friendly neighborhood pothead, on Thoughts Off the Stem on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podchaser, Pandora, Good Pods, everywhere. It's everywhere, baby. It's out there. I hope you enjoy it. And don't forget to check out tots420.com for the Dude for Real Facts, for the Dude for Real Facts and the weed facts. Till next time. Keep your lids low, baby.